My name is Patrick Kettner. I'll be the MC here today. And I'd just like to welcome everybody to the third annual Microsoft Edge Summit. Thank you so much for coming. Give yourself a hand. Yeah. We have a whole bunch of exciting stuff to talk to you about, and to make sure we kick off today the right way, I'd like to introduce Kyle Pflug to give us a bunch of logistical stuff and the COC and all kinds of fun stuff. So, Kyle.
Thanks, Patrick. Thanks, Patrick. So, hello. As Patrick said, welcome to the third annual Microsoft Edge Web Summit. We're really excited to be here in Seattle for the first year and to welcome a bunch of developers from locally and from around the world today. We're going to get started in just a couple minutes with the keynote. I just wanted to open up with a few notes on the layout of the venue and some logistics for anybody who has questions. So first of all, if you haven't already, please take a moment to review the code of conduct that's posted on the event website. It's also in your welcome email that you should have received on Sunday night. It's pretty straightforward, just be good to each other, don't harass anybody. If you have any trouble with somebody with harassment or you see something that doesn't feel right, feel free to grab myself, grab Patrick, or anybody in a blue or a red badge. We'd be happy to help you. Or you can just go to the registration desk and we can work with you on getting the situation resolved. Second, just a layout of the building briefly. So down here on the first floor, the restrooms are stage left behind the green tiles on the wall. Upstairs, they're in the back of the room, back by the kitchen. If you need to stretch your legs, there's standing room back here on the first floor. And then if you can't find a seat, there is some overflow space available on the second floor as well. So the second floor is going to be, this is sort of our overflow space and where we'll be taking our meals and doing the mixer at the end of the day. So we've got some awesome areas where you can connect with the Edge team. There's some booths organized by subject matter for testing sites, debugging issues you may have, talking about tools like WebDriver, Browser Stack, Sonar. Getting hands-on with WebVR and so on. So during breaks and during meals, we encourage you to go up there, chat with each other, chat with some of our staff, and have a good time. The WebVR hands-on experience will be starting at the end of the session, so starting at 6, you'll have the opportunity to try some mixed reality headsets, try out different experiences built in WebVR, and chat to some of our team about what they spoke about and how to build WebVR sites. You may see there's a bunch of stations scattered around the event with swag. So in general, if you see it and it has the Edge Summit logo on it, you can take it. It does not apply to computers. but you know, we encourage you to grab a tote bag on the landing area and grab some swag. There's some reusable water bottles, so keep hydrated, get some coffee, and have a good time. And then finally, we have a couple of awesome opportunities at the end of the day. So if you are here in the audience today, we've entered you in a raffle to win a Microsoft Surface laptop or a Windows Mixed Reality Dev Kit with motion controllers. So come find, or don't come find me, we'll come find you. So at the end of the day, after the talks, we'll announce the winners of the raffle. We're just picking from the registration list at random. So we'll announce the winners and distribute those prizes at the end of the day. So we encourage you to stick around. And we'll also have an awesome mixer after that. So stick around. So that's all I have to say. So I'm actually going to turn the stage over to my colleague and manager, Charles Morris, who is the lead of the web ecosystem team on Microsoft Edge. And he is going to talk to you about what's coming up for Microsoft Edge. Charles?
Thank you very much, Kyle. Let's actually here give another round of applause for Kyle, because he's actually the brain behind this whole operation. So. Great job. All right, so good morning, everyone. So on behalf of the Microsoft Edge team, it's really my pleasure to welcome all of you to the third annual Edge Summit. Coming to you for the first time from beautiful Seattle, Washington, our hometown. Let's hear it, Seattle. Woo! Woo! I just want to make sure you're all awake and caffeinated as we need to be here. So yeah, welcome to all of you, and also welcome to all of you also joining us from the live webcast. So today is really our chance as the Edge team to connect with all of you, the web developer and web design community, and really share with you the progress that we've been making with Microsoft Edge over the last couple years, as well as a peek forward at where we're going. So we're really thrilled to have you here. So my name is Charles Morris, and I lead a team in Edge that's really responsible for connecting the engineering team to all of you as the web community. And this event here is really a huge part of that. And you know, we really think on the team, we feel like we are building this browser platform for all of you. And so today is a really big chance for us to connect. So we have really an amazing lineup of talks for you today, and there's going to be you know, a lot of great info shared. But in addition to the communication kind of going this way, we also look at this as a great opportunity for us to hear your feedback. So if you're in the event today, if you're at the event today, please be sure to give us your feedback. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want to see us do. You can find the speakers with these red badges or anyone on the Edge team. We've got a lot of engineers roaming upstairs and downstairs, so please grab someone and, you know, talk to them. Tell them what you think. And if you're not here, you can also join in on the conversation on Twitter by using the hashtag MSEdgeSummit. So let's dive in. So to get started, I thought it'd be good to just kind of take a step back and really wish a happy second birthday to Microsoft Edge. Woo. So it's actually kind of hard to believe that it was just 2 years ago that we broke from the past, ditched our old browser, Internet Explorer, and launched this brand new browser, Microsoft Edge, the first new browser for Microsoft in over 20 years. So when Edge was first born, we were really focused on breaking from the past. We deleted a bunch of the old code from IE, like ActiveX, VBScript, and a bunch of the other unique quirks that made Internet Explorer what it was. And we really refocused Edge on being an interoperable browser for the modern web. Since then, just like all toddlers, there's been a lot of really fast and furious growth and improvements to Edge. And so that's a big part of what we want to share with you today is that progress. But before we get to that, I thought we could celebrate one other really important number, because a lot of improvements and a lot of new features doesn't really mean anything if no one's using it. And so that's why I'm really thrilled to announce today that earlier this month, Microsoft Edge passed over 330 million active devices worldwide. Cheer up for that. So this number has more than doubled since the Edge Summit last year. So we're pretty humbled by this number, because these are actual, you know, real users who are browsing the web through our browser, and more importantly, what they're browsing through Edge is the sites and apps that all of you build. So we really look at these people as kind of our mutual customers. So I think it's always important to take a step back and really think about the fact that what we all do together is we try to reach people, humans, through the technology we build. We try to make their lives better. And so when we look at a number like this, I think when all of you look at your analytics, I think it's good to see beyond the number and see the actual people who are being touched by our work. So to help with that theme, we're going to spend the next part of the talk really teaching you about how we look at building for those end users. So I'd like to invite Jan and Adam up on stage, and they're going to tell you more about how we design Edge for those users, how we listen to their feedback, and how we try to anticipate their needs in the future. Jan and Adam, welcome.
Thanks, Charles. Good morning, everybody. And good morning to everyone who's watching us on the live stream. So I'm Adam, and this is Jan. We're here from the Edge team. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about how our team designs and builds the modern browser for Windows 10, Microsoft Edge. When we think about the complete experience of browsing the web with Microsoft Edge, there's several different pieces that we consider. First, there's the web itself, including all of the rich web content and experiences that all of you work so tirelessly to create. Powering those web experiences is Edge HTML, the rendering engine used by Microsoft Edge. Like Gecko or Blink, it provides the foundational web APIs and capabilities necessary to power those rich web experiences. Last but not least, there's the Microsoft Edge app itself, which is the frame of the browser, and the portal to our user's shared experience on the web. All of these components come together to create a cohesive experience for our shared users. What that means is that together, us and all of you, we're all building for the same shared audience. In this summit, you'll become more familiar with the tools available to you to build amazing experiences on the web. And to kick that off, we wanted to begin by giving you some insight into how we build for Microsoft Edge.
Thanks, Adam. Like many projects, building a better browser starts with a series of F words. Yeah, they're all the same ones that you're thinking about. The first one is fundamentals, or accounting for the basics. And next up, we have to take a look at feedback, because it's important for us to continuously iterate and to learn. And then finally, we have to plan for the future, because we can't just react to feedback. We have to think a few steps ahead to anticipate our users' needs. Now, just like the rest of you, we have to plan accordingly with the resources we have. When you set a monthly budget, you have to figure out where your pennies are going to go. And more likely than not, they're going to go toward food, rent, and utilities before you buy those latest Xbox games. So to us, fundamentals are the food, rent, and utilities. When we talk about fundamentals, we really mean getting the basics right and making sure we obsess over the details. It means starting with the most common use cases and leveraging cohesive design principles to develop features that should just work. It means adhering to internal and external guidelines and standards to deliver secure, reliable, performant, and accessible experiences. It also means lots and lots of conversations with users, subject matter experts, marketing, privacy, security, and my favorite, lawyers. This is actually Edge's real lawyer. His name is Aaron. He's great. When we lead with fundamentals, we can focus on building an intentional design that works for everyone. I'd like to have some of my teammates tell you in their own words what that means.
Honestly, one of the best parts of my job is the people I work with. We have a really awesome team here dedicated to making the browser one of the best things that Microsoft makes.
Making a great browser is very important to us for many reasons. One of them, we really take pride in designing the right experience for our users.
We have to be faster, be more reliable, have more features, have more things to make users just go wow than any other browser out there, because they actually have to choose us.
At the end of the day, we strive to create delightful experiences for each of our users, regardless of their abilities.
A lot of times the small details are important because they're pretty subconscious. People don't really pick up on them.
We try to put ourselves in our customer's shoes. Every time they press on a button or they're expecting something to happen, is it happening? Is it happening the way they would like them to see it happening?
So in the Microsoft Edge, we have multiple disciplines like as a group to like do to make our product better.
So from the designers that create the look and feel of the product, to the quality team that measures the performance that we have on the product, to the developers that build the product, the product management that defines how things are going. And also we have to work across different partner teams that within Microsoft and even outside of Microsoft to make all of this comes together. So in order to land experiences like this, you really have to be able to bring the science of measuring performance and making things fast with the art of building great user experiences.
The user should not really notice the browser in any way. They should be able to just get in there and make sure that the job that they wanted to do on the web was able to be done as fast and as reliably as possible.
We really intentionally design for everyone, and it goes from non-technical users to power users, but also for people who need more accessibility help.
It's Microsoft's mission to empower every person and every organization in the planet to achieve more. So that includes the people with disabilities. We want to make sure that we are attentive to the details of every person.
For us, attention to detail doesn't only have to do with what you can see, but also what you can hear.
When you design a product for the blind and other people with disability, you bring to bear every good UI principles to to ensure that technologies are accessible to everyone.
When we're thinking about the accessibility area, we always ask ourselves what environment that a user are in or what unique limitations the user may have.
In addition to running user studies with users of assistive technologies early in the design process, we also work with internal Microsoft employees who use assistive technologies, as well as external partners like the National Federation of the Blind.
Blind computer users rely on everything else but vision. So when I come in and talk to the engineers about usability design, I don't rely on vision at all. So what this means is everything else in our system must work. Keyboard navigation must work so that I can get access to every piece of UI in the product.
We support 100% of Edge HTML5 APIs to help the developers to build the technology or build the features they want.
When we design a product that integrates all of the universal design principles, we open the door to ensure that our technology is being able to access by everyone at all time, no matter the situation that they're in.
I think one of the most compelling things about working for Microsoft Edge is just thinking about the number of users who are affected by the design decisions we make every day. It's an incredible amount of pressure, but it's also very exciting and can be very rewarding.
Realistically, the browser is never finished. As soon as we release to the rest of the world, the real work is just starting, because now we're gathering data from millions of people about what they do and don't like, what works for them. It's that feedback from the rest of the world that's really going to help us shape and iterate that for the next set of releases.
As you heard from my teammate Josh in the video, our work on the browser experience is never done. We're constantly listening to feedback from a variety of sources, both internal to Microsoft and from folks just like you. We start with dashboards and metrics to monitor our telemetry in real time. We do A/B experimentation testing to determine what works and what doesn't. We have extensive performance labs that simulate real-world conditions and automated tools that simulate user behavior. But while data and metrics can tell us a lot of things, they can't put this information into context, and that's where people come in. We start by testing internally inside the company, and we call this practice dog fooding, as in eating our own dog food. And honestly, it's delicious. The feedback is discussed in hallways, tracked in databases, but also comes in through various emails and discussion groups. These are valuable sources of information because they allow us to dig deep into these investigations, to get repro steps, logs, and traces that we need to really make progress. Of course, feedback from Microsoft employees can sometimes be a bit of an echo chamber. Because we're designing for everyone, and not just for ourselves, we have the Windows Insider program to help us get feedback from our global external audience during the development process. The Windows Insider program is open to anyone who wants to sign up, including all of you. And you can choose the speed at which you'd like to participate and receive new builds. You could start with the release preview ring, which will give you the current public release with early access to updates. There's the slow ring, in which you'll be able to receive updates directly from our development branch. Or there's the fast ring, in which you'll be able to get the fastest available builds hot off the presses from our development branch. If you choose that, you'll get those builds weekly, which Yan and I like to call living on the edge. Thank you for indulging my dad joke. For more information and to sign up for yourself, you can go to insider.windows.com to learn more. And of course, once a new version of Edge is released to the public, we get ongoing feedback worldwide through dashboards, support channels, feedback logged through our Feedback Hub app, and from social media.
Thanks, Adam. We tend to get all kinds of feedback, especially through our Feedback Hub. The Feedback Hub is an app that runs on Windows 10 in which anyone can give product feedback directly to our engineering teams, and you can upvote on the feedback that you care about the most. However, I like to hear straight from our users. So for that, what better source is there than social media in a segment that I'm going to call Dear Edge Team. So first up, we have what I call a frustrated tweet. Rasmus from Denmark says, "Gah, does anyone know how to edit a bookmark in Microsoft Edge browser? Hashtag Twitter brain." Now, Jim tries to help, but eventually Rasmus concludes, "No, it's useless." Okay. Next up, we've got some tough love from Matt from Charlotte, who writes, "Windows If you want to know why people hate Edge, the feature to edit a URL in a favorite does not exist in Edge. Thanks. Okay, so this last one kind of hurt a little bit, and you'll see why shortly. Simon from Auckland said, the favorite management in Microsoft Edge is so bad, you need a third-party tool to edit the URL a favorite points to. Okay, Adam, what can we do for Rasmus, Matt, and Simon?
Well, Yan and our friends on social media, we've got you covered. In Microsoft Edge, in the fall creators update, you'll be able to edit a URL, an existing favorite, and rename it to something memorable. It works just like you'd expect. And we hope this shows that we're always listening, and we prioritize many of the changes we make based directly on your feedback.
Thanks, Adam. And actually, some great news. If you're an insider, you can already see these updates in the latest insiders build. So we're super glad we can make your day, Massimo. So now, when we say we're listening to feedback on all channels, we really mean it. First up, here's some feedback from an insider who wanted to understand why dragging and dropping favorites wasn't working. And next up, we have Scatterbrains, who self-identifies as hailing from Planet 3, so it's very extraterrestrial, because I said all channels. No drag and drop URL support in Microsoft Edge. Bummer. All right, Adam, what do you have for these folks?
Well, Yan, and from all of our friends on social media and throughout the cosmos, we have you covered again. Coming soon in Microsoft Edge, you'll be able to drag and drop URLs from the address bar into the favorites bar or into the favorites hub. Again, we think it works just like you'd expect, and we hope this shows we're always listening, and we really appreciate your feedback.
We're not only expanding the existing feature set and fixing bugs, but we also continue to improve on the design of existing Edge features. For example, on the Edge address bar, we started with the principle of reducing visual clutter wherever possible in order to let the web page shine. As a result, what this meant was that we stripped the prefixes from URLs when you weren't interacting with it, and we only showed the prefixes once you clicked into the address bar. This posed a bit of a usability issue if you tried to select some text without clicking in the address bar first. As you can see, I can't quite get to the Windows Phone text right there. And this is something that we definitely heard about from our users in social media. We realized through multiple feedback channels that this micro interaction was really important to them, and it caused us to reconsider our address bar design principles such that now we prioritize the efficiency of text selection over minimalism. So Adam, what was the end result of this work?
Well, again, Yan, and from our friends here, we've got you covered. The address bar will no longer jiggle that text when you try to select on it anymore. This is coming soon in Edge, and again, we really appreciate all the feedback that led us to this place. Listening and reacting to user feedback is vital for Microsoft Edge to be able to continue to meet the varied and disparate needs of our global user community. However, it's very important that we don't just react. We work diligently to never stop moving forward in how we improve the browser for our users and anticipate their needs whenever possible. Our goal is to continually create delightful moments for our users in the browser and meet their needs that they might not even know they have yet. In our most recent release of Edge, the one that accompanied the creators update this spring, we shipped a new feature called Tabs You've Set Aside. This new feature is the result of extensive user research, concepting, prototyping, and iteration by a large and creative team of folks from varied backgrounds and different disciplines. Shipping new features in a product used by so many people around the world is a shared challenge and an awesome opportunity for the folks who work on Microsoft Edge. I'd like for some of our teammates to tell you about that experience in their own words.
The journey for us to be able to get to what we're shipping in our next release required us to go through a whole bunch of stages in that journey, including research, ideation, prototyping, and ultimately self-hosting in order to get feedback so we can do that loop again to get our features in the best possible state before we ship them for our next release.
What can we do to make the familiar new and fresh and find new ways for you to be active and effective online?
In our user research, we saw that these pain points kept coming up in the way that people were using tabs.
We didn't know exactly what we wanted to measure in the beginning. How many times did they open a tab? How many tabs did they switch to before they find the one they want? How many times did they sweep and restore tabs?
You want to get rid of the fear of losing tabs. So you don't need to hold on to tabs. You don't need to keep them there. You could just kind of sweep them aside.
First, we did a bunch of concepting with our design and creative teams around visualizing how some of these things might actually be in practice. What would it look like to actually sweep my tabs away? What would it look like if all my favorites were visualized?
You design a feature, and the design is beautiful. And then you start thinking through the edge cases. When designers design things, they have this perfect environment where everything can be to the frame perfection. But then once we develop it and it's in practice, we have a lot more limitations.
I think that's also a benefit of dev working with design. It's nice to have people coming up with ideas that don't necessarily know the technical limitations.
You might be stuck in one frame of mind and you might not look at things the same way they do. Going forward, that's useful because when you're developing and you have your own opinions on the design, that can really help shape the product in a positive way as well.
Sometimes we have to tweak the animations a little bit so that in this less perfect world, it can still be beautiful. So when those things come together in those iterations, we end up with something that's good.
It was a really fast back and forwards, and it was really fun to work directly with the designers as opposed to having them be a group in a completely separate building. We were meeting multiple times a day. It's cool to bounce just these wild ideas off the wall and see what might work. So a lot of our prototypes were different UI affordances for doing tab sweeping. We built the back end of that in such a way that we could apply a bunch of different UIs on top of it.
When we showed this to people in the lab, they were really excited about it. They could see this kind of fitting into their daily life and solving the problems that we had been observing.
When users swept their tabs and we kept them in the tab band, it kept people grounded in the fact that all of my tabs are in one core spot in the app, and I don't have to go hunting and looking around, and that gave people this really interesting sense of confidence. My tabs are always in one place, whether I'm starting fresh or I'm coming back to a task later. The work that we're doing now and the stuff that we're shipping in this release as part of Edge is going to be really important for our users, we believe, for them to be able to experience a calmer, more centered, more organized way to live their life on the web.
As you've seen today, fundamentals, feedback, and thinking about the future are the essential building blocks behind the Microsoft Edge app. However, there is one more F word that I haven't said yet, which I've been dying to say. Don't worry, Charles. That word is fan. We know that all of you are interested in building great experiences for the web, and that's why you're here today. We would also like for each and every one of you to become a fan of the Microsoft Edge experience. And what that means to us is that Edge is the browser that you choose, that you love, and that you want to tell all of your friends and family about. So if you're not yet a fan, I invite you to tweet at us at Microsoft Edge, to join the Insider program at insider.windows.com, to upvote your feedback in the Feedback Hub in Windows 10, however you want to reach us. Come find me and Adam after the session, too, to tell us what we can do to help turn you into a fan. And if you are a fan, thank you. And please do all of that anyway, because we know that we can always improve. We're here to listen, and with your help, we can build the best web experience possible for our users. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, great. Thank you, Jan and Adam. So with that, look at how we build for our end users in the Microsoft Edge app experience. I'd like to pivot now, really for the rest of the day, towards Edge HTML. So as I said, Edge HTML is the engine that powers Microsoft Edge. And I think of it really as where our code comes together, us as browser makers, and all of you as creators on the web. So what I'm going to do for the next few minutes is really give you a high-level overview of where we've been over the last 2 years, as well as where we're going, and also relate that to how that maps out to what you'll be seeing for the rest of the day. So just like those of you who have marked the side of a door frame as your kids have grown up, Edge has also been notching up a bunch of growth marks over the last 2 years. So it started out with Edge HTML 12 just over 2 years ago. And just like a lot of babies, a lot of work went into just getting to this point. As I said earlier, our focus here was really on building a new interoperable browser, getting rid of unique IE characteristics and becoming interoperable with the rest of the modern web. But we followed that up really quickly with a lot more features. So just a few months later in Edge HTML 13, we added things like responsive images, both through source set as well as the picture element, object RTC, the template element, and more. Last year, just before the last Edge Summit, we shipped a major update in Edge HTML 14. This introduced a brand new extensions platform for Microsoft Edge, as well as a brand new re-architected DOM subsystem. We also added a bunch of new features like web notifications and speech synthesis. And then from there, we've just continued to crank. So earlier this year, we shipped Edge HTML 15. And then as Jan and Adam said, next month, October the 17th, we are shipping Edge HTML 16 to stable. And this is available today through Windows Insider Builds. So there's a lot of features packed into all of these releases. The best way to get a summary of each of these updates is to simply remember this URL pattern, aka.ms/devguide_edgehtml, and then the version number. This will take you directly to a page that will give you essentially summary and deep links to descriptions of all of the features in each of these major updates. But it's also important to know that these are just the major growth marks for Edge HTML. Just like kids, in their first 2 years, we've actually been growing along the way. And so to illustrate that, we've actually shipped 82 patch updates in this two-year time frame. So I did the math, and this actually works out to shipping stable code every 3.15 weeks. I think we were aiming for 3.14 and just missed. So we're shipping fixes to our customers all the time, and these bigger marks are really just what we call feature updates that have larger collections of new features. During that time, we've also shipped 75 insider previews. So this is through the fast ring that Jan and Adam talked about and is your way to get your hands on the latest code coming out of the Edge team. So to give you an idea of the progress that we've made over the last 2 years, I thought I'd share just a few fun numbers. The first one is that we have shipped over 75 new web standards in Edge just in those past 2 years. This is on top of the improvements that we made in the initial release of Edge. So it's hard to wrap your head around what that means, but one way to do that is to look at our HTML5 test score. So the HTML test score today has jumped around 100 points from when Edge initially shipped. I actually think we have Niels here, who's the creator of this test, so look out for him. But actually, you know, I've been talking a lot about features, but new features is just a fraction of what our team works on. We care a ton about fundamentals, as we'll talk about in a second. And we put a ton of work into that. So one of my favorite illustrations of the progress that we've made in performance is through the speedometer benchmark. So as I said earlier, we introduced a brand new re-architected DOM, and since then, we've been tuning it to get faster and faster. So the speedometer is a public benchmark that emulates a lot of real-world frameworks. And over the last 2 years, our score on this benchmark has increased by 2.5 times. We also care a ton about accessibility, as you saw from the previous video. And we're proud to say that we're still the only browser that scores a perfect 100% on the HTML5 accessibility benchmark. So you'll be hearing a lot more about these improvements through the rest of the day, starting with Todd at 5 p.m. today, who's going to be giving an overview of all the performance improvements that have gone into Edge over the past year or so. And then be sure to stick around also for Bogdan and Rawson at 4:30, who will be talking to you about really some of the fundamental architecture work that we had to do to create a really accessible experience that all of you can build on top of. So for today, we're going to be really focused on the last two notches on that growth chart, Edge HTML 15 and 16. And of the 75 web standards over the past 2 years, this is a subset that we are shipping just in 2017. So it's our goal for you today to come away with a really deep understanding of these features. So we've really mapped out a lot of the day according to this list. So we're gonna get started with that. Later this morning, with Ali at 11:15, who's gonna be giving you a tour of the experimental support for Service Worker in Microsoft Edge. So as many of you know, service workers are a really transformative technology for the web, and it's actually something we've been working on for about a year or so, and we're really excited that it's starting to approach readiness for stable builds. Just after that, Brian Turlson's gonna be joining us to tell you about Chakra Core, which is Microsoft's open source JavaScript engine. So he'll be giving you a deep look at the architecture of that engine, as well as a look at TypeScript, which is a language that Microsoft has created to help you write really scalable JavaScript. Just after lunch, Melanie will be here to tell you about the CSS Grid updated support that's going to be shipping in Edge HTML 16. So this is one of our top requested CSS features, and really thrilled to be able to deliver this next month. And she'll also be talking about a couple of other features that come along with that, object fit and object position. After that, Molly's going to be here to tell you about payment request API. So if you haven't heard about payment request already, we really think this is one of the most transformational changes to the way e-commerce is done on the web. And so she's gonna be here to tell you about that along with a special guest. And then last but not least, at 4 o'clock, we've got Nell and Lewis here to tell you all about the new web VR support in Edge. So we've got a huge investment into mixed reality at Microsoft, starting with a big new launch of a mixed reality platform in the Windows 10 update next month, as well as a whole suite of affordable VR hardware that's coming out this holiday. So we're really excited about the potential for VR, especially on the web. And if you're interested, please stick around for this talk, but also be sure to stop by at the Web VR booth upstairs. So another major update that we've made to Edge, as I talked about starting last year, was a new extensions platform. So after we launched Edge, this was really the number one thing that people were asking for. You know, end users had gotten used to being able to customize their browser through extensions. Developers like yourself have gotten used to creating a more integrated and pervasive experience for your sites across the web by providing extensions to users. And so we built an extensions platform, launched it last year, but we really started with a pretty small set of about 13 extensions. And this was really intentional on our part. We had just gotten done with removing an old extension model called ActiveX in IE. And we were really familiar with all of the security, reliability, and other performance problems that an extensions model can create. And we really wanted to make sure that we didn't put ourselves down the same path with this new HTML and JavaScript-based extension model. Since then, with Edge HTML 15, we added a bunch of new features and APIs, including native messaging, to this platform. But we've also really started to scale up the number of extensions. So in the last few months or so, we've gone from 13 extensions up to over 70 now worldwide, including some ones that are just rolling in day by day. So just the other day, one of the extensions that I've been waiting for the most, Grammarly, hit the Windows Store. So really the call to action here is, if you have an extension or if you use an extension that isn't available yet for Edge, please let whoever creates that extension know that now's a great time to actually submit your extension to the Windows Store. It still goes through some validation because we do want to protect the performance and security of the browser, so it's not a free-for-all. But we do have, as I said, a very streamlined process, and you can get started here at aka.ms/edge-extensions. One more thing that you'll find at that link is actually a tool that will in an automated way port your extension from Chrome to Edge, replacing common things like namespaces. So we try to make it as easy as possible. So with that, I'd like to switch and pivot a little bit from looking backwards to looking forward at year three and beyond. So just like kids, when they hit two, it's not like they suddenly stop growing, right? If anything, they just keep on accelerating into the school years, and that's really our plan as well. So the way I'd like to frame where we're going next is really by telling you about how we think about our priorities heading into year three and beyond. And you know, that really starts with fundamentals. So Adam and Yan talked about how that's really important to them when they build the Edge experience, but it's even more important to us as people who are building the web platform. So if they put the fun in fundamentals, then I think us platform people put the mental in fundamentals. So, see, it worked. So, this means a lot of different things to us. And I talked a little bit about the performance talk, coming up later today, as well as the accessibility talk. But we've also got some other great content queued up. First, Nathan at 10 a.m. will be telling you about really some of the unique security capabilities that are available in Edge. And then to close the day, we've got Nolan coming up, who will be giving another perf talk, but this time the content's really going to be focused on what all of you can do as web developers to build faster content, and his tips are going to be based on work that he's done with a lot of really big web partners inside and outside the company, so it's really interesting stuff. The second priority for us is really new to this list, so fundamentals is probably always going to be number one on our list, but the number two priority for us here is really new, and it's something called progressive web apps. So a lot of you may be familiar with this term from Google talking about progressive web apps as a way to build apps on Android. Well, in upcoming releases of Windows 10, we're really going to show that Microsoft is absolutely committed to making progressive web apps a first-class citizen on Windows and really set the tone for bringing progressive web apps, especially to the desktop environment. Yeah, exciting. So, you know, sounds like a lot of you already know what PWAs are, but we really believe it's a transformative way to think about how you build apps, and in particular, how you make this, you know, kind of ever-changing decision around building for web versus native. And so to really give you an updated view on how to approach that question, Karupa will be joining us later this morning to give you an overview of how Microsoft is approaching building PWAs. Next up, we've got Edge DevTools. So as we've been kind of knocking off the top priorities, so initially it was making an interoperable browser, then it was extensions, PWAs. As some of these things have been built, the Edge DevTools have really bubbled up to the top in terms of the feedback that we hear from people like you, from our big web partners, as the number one thing that we need to work on. And so we've really responded to that and drastically increased the size of the team. And so Jacob Rossi will be here later this afternoon to give you an idea of some of the early returns on that investment, as well as where they're heading next with the tools. And then last but not least, of course, we're going to continue to push forward on web platform interoperability and new standards. So as you all know, the web is constantly moving, and there's a huge list of things that we can go out and build. But rather than just share kind of our latest stack ranked list with you, what we thought it'd be great to do is actually give you an inside look at how do we make the decisions as to what we're going to build next. And so Greg's going to be joining us later this afternoon to really give you that inside look at all of the different inputs that we take and try to merge together into prioritizing what we go and do next. So that's kind of a roadmap for where we've been, where we're going, and how that maps to what you'll be seeing today. But there's more that I want to say, because really building a great product is only one of the things that we can do for all of you. It's definitely the most important thing. We really feel like it's the number one thing we can do to make all of your lives better is to build a great browser. But there is more. And so back to the birthday theme, you know, the browser is the centerpiece. The product itself is a centerpiece, and we're so super focused there. It's kind of like having a great birthday cake at the party. But there's a lot more things that we can do to make it a fun party. We can make the decor nice like it is here. We can have great party favors like we have. And so in a similar way, we wanted to continue to push ourselves to think about what more we can do outside of building a great browser for all of you to make your lives better. So this really isn't a new train of thought for us. This was really a mindset that we brought into building Edge from day one. And the first thing we wanted to do was really rally around this idea of building in the open, because it wasn't how Microsoft built its browser, you know, many, many years ago. And so with Edge, we introduced a bunch of new resources, starting with our status roadmap. So if you haven't checked this out already, it's available at status.microsoftedge.com. And there you'll find a list of all of the web standards that we're tracking, as well as their current status in Edge, whether it's shipped, whether it's available in preview through the Windows Insider program, whether it's in development. And if it's still on our backlog, you can actually click through and vote for that feature if it's important to you on our user voice page. So Greg will be talking a little bit more about how that's one of the inputs that we use. Then at last year's Edge Summit, we introduced a brand new open bug tracker. So all of you as developers, if you are building for and testing across multiple browsers and you find a place where Edge is not working like other browsers, we invite you to come here to bugs.microsoftedge.com and file that issue. You'll be able to follow along with as our engineers look at these bugs and actually see when it gets fixed and is available in a preview. Because that wasn't easy enough, we actually took it a step further months later and we created a hashtag edgebug. So this is actually a way to file a bug just by tweeting, and Greg will be telling you more about this later today. We also open sourced our JavaScript engine, as I mentioned, Chakra Core. This has been huge. It's now one of the most popular Microsoft repos on GitHub. And we've had a bunch of really great community contributions, including bringing Chakra to other platforms. And then finally, Twitter. You know, all of you as web developers probably spend some time on Twitter keeping up on what's happening. And so we're super active on our main Twitter handle, at MSEdgeDev. If you ever have a question, you can always ping this alias and someone from the team will answer. So that's what we've been doing as the Edge team beyond building a great product. But now looking forward, I wanted to talk about really what we're gonna do next. And so to begin that, we wanted to kind of expand our thinking a little bit, more than just thinking about what we can do as the web team, the Edge team. And we really started with recognizing the fact that one of the special things about the web, I think, is that it really feels like a community. Everyone, all of us here who work on the web feel like a community. And so we wanted to push ourselves to think about what more can we do with the web community. So about a year ago when we started down this road, we started talking to each other and realizing that, you know, it's actually kind of hard to be a web developer these days. On one hand, there's like an incredible number of tools and frameworks and documentation and best practices out there, but it's all changing so fast and it's really hard to stay on top of it all. So we started thinking about what can we do to help make this better. And we really started out with a set of core principles before we even wrote a single line of code. And the first one is that this tool should be built around choice, that all of you as developers get to decide exactly what's important to you, what rules are important to enforce, and which ones you are happy to ignore. The second one, it needs to be seamless. It needs to be integrated into your development workflows. And the third one is we really need to work collaboratively with all of the other people who are in this space. So making sure that we're not reinventing tools. So for things like accessibility, there's already great checkers out there like Axe. Or for security, there's things like SSL Labs. So we wanted to be able to integrate those tools without having to try to reinvent them. So as we went down and started thinking about these principles and started writing code, this tool has now evolved into something called Sonar, which is a linting tool for the web. So as I mentioned earlier, we really wanted this to be community-driven from day one and not just something that Microsoft was putting out there. So a few months ago, we actually donated the code to the JS Foundation, and they open sourced it. And it's available here on GitHub at github.com/sonarwall. So we've already started to have a bunch of community members jump in and start to improve things, but today is kind of the next step in that journey, and really inviting all of you to come check it out and give it a test drive. And if it doesn't do everything that you want it to do today, then please contribute and help turn it into the linting tool that you want it to be. So there's a lot more to say about Sonar, but I'm going to leave it at that because the lead developer on Sonar is going to be up here at 12:15, Anton, to tell you a lot more. So continuing on this theme in terms of what we can do with the web community, another thing that we realized is a really important thing for all of you as web developers is having really great documentation, especially for the core APIs in the web platform. But when we started thinking about what that looks like as a web developer, it starts to look kind of fragmented. There's a whole bunch of different documentation sets out there, right, for you as a web developer. You're probably familiar with them. Each of the browser vendors has their own copy of the documentation. And then you've got a bunch of third-party sites out there. So we thought about what more can we do to help you with that. And so today I'm really happy to announce that we've been collaborating with the team over at Mozilla that runs MDN to build a single great consolidated set of documentation for web developers. So the MDN team has actually already kicked this off. Some of you who follow along closely may know that they actually rebranded, even though it doesn't look that different. So MDN doesn't stand for Mozilla Developer Network anymore. It's just MDN Web Docs. And part of their goal there was to make it a more agnostic, vendor agnostic destination. And so this partnership has actually already kicked off. And the technical writers on the Edge team have, in the past year, already contributed over 5,000 wiki edits to the MDN repository to make sure that all the Edge documentation and other resources are accurate and up to date there. So we have actually a lot more to announce here in the coming months, so please stay tuned. So just continuing on this theme in terms of what more we can do, another angle that we pushed ourselves to think about was, what more can we do as Microsoft, taking advantage of the breadth of what Microsoft does for web developers? And as soon as we started thinking about this, one of the first things we realized is, wow, Microsoft provides a lot of tools, frameworks, other things for web developers, but there's actually no great way for all of you to know where that is. You may know, pockets of that information, Visual Studio, Edge, Azure, and so forth, but there's no single place to really look that up. And so we set out to fix that, and earlier this year we launched the site developer.microsoft.com/web. And the goal of this site is really to do what I just said, give you a single-stop shop to see what Microsoft has to offer across the board. So we're not replicating information, we're really just giving you links into all the various resources that are there. So what you'll find here is some updates on the latest news, as well as an overview of all the platforms and technologies, things like Edge, ASP.NET Azure, tools like Visual Studio Code. But my favorite part is actually this middle link here called Web APIs, because if you click into that, you'll actually find a full directory of all of the web APIs, embeddable controls, and so forth that Microsoft provides to you as web developers. So this is over 50 different APIs available from teams across the company like LinkedIn, Bing, Office, as well as new offerings from our artificial intelligence and research orgs. So please be sure to check that out. But we also know that just having a great browser, some documentation, isn't quite enough. Your development environment even is more than just having a great editor like Visual Studio Code. The modern development, web development tool chain also requires a really great commanding environment. And so that's why we're really happy that last year we announced what's called the Windows Subsystem for Linux, which is often called Bash on Windows. So if you're not familiar with this, this allows you to just go to the Windows Store and actually one click, download and install a full Linux distribution and run it on top of Windows. There's no VMs or anything like that. It's actually running directly on Windows. And this gives you, among other things, great command line environments like Bash. So one of the main reasons why we built this was for web developers like all of you. And so we've been working really closely with the Bash team to make sure that as we go to web conferences and other places, they come along with us and hear feedback directly from web developers. So continuing on with that theme, we actually have a bunch of the team members upstairs. If you have tried this out or if you would like to check it out, get a quick demo, please be sure to stop upstairs and check it out. So we've covered a lot of software improvements now. You've got great tools, browser, commanding environment. But we know that actually even having great software is not enough. As developers, we also really want some beautiful, powerful hardware to carry around with us to events like this or to have on our desk at the office. So in the past, this has usually meant one thing. And so web developer events have started to look a little bit like a monoculture. That's why I'm thrilled, and as hopefully most of you know, that the Surface team has been doing some amazing work in building some really beautiful, amazing devices for developers, including the Surface Book, the Surface Studio, and the Surface Laptop that you see here. If you haven't had a chance to check out all of these devices, again, we have samples of all of these devices upstairs. Please stop by and check it out. But I shouldn't just leave it at the Surface team, because actually a lot of our PC partners, OEM partners such as Dell, Lenovo, and HP have also been building really amazing hardware in recent times. And so it's really bringing to bear kind of the strength of choice so that you can find hardware that's really the right thing for you, whether that's touch screens, you know, two-in-ones, and so forth. So there's a ton of great choice out there. So the final thing that I want to speak about in terms of what more we can do outside of just building a great browser for you is what can we do with some of our partners as Microsoft? And one area we thought this could really help is in terms of testing Microsoft Edge. Because we know that, you know, even if we build amazing software, we give you great hardware to run it on, some of you may well choose to still do your development in another software and hardware environment, and that's awesome. However, we still want you to test in Edge and other browsers because we all have a responsibility to preserve the reach of the web by making sure that what we build is interoperable across platforms. So to help with that, we've been really committed since the beginning to make sure that it's easy for people who are not running Windows to test on Microsoft Edge. That really started with providing free virtual machines for you to download on a number of different VM platforms you see here. So we provide the latest Insider build, the last two stable Windows 10 builds, as well as older versions of Internet Explorer, especially if you work in an enterprise that has older line of business applications. So these are available for download at vms.microsoftedge.com. But we know that running a VM is kind of inconvenient, right? It's a big download. It takes up a lot of RAM and CPU to run. And so that's why we were super excited earlier this year to announce a partnership with BrowserStack. BrowserStack provides cloud services to run cloud testing for your browsers, including Edge. And as part of this partnership, we announced that testing on Edge for both live and automated testing would be free, which is really awesome. So to tell you more about this partnership and what BrowserStack does, I'd love to welcome Neil from BrowserStack up on stage to tell you more. Thanks, Neil.
Thank you, Charles. Hey, everyone. My name is Neil, and I lead the product team over at BrowserStack. Like Microsoft, BrowserStack is committed to making our lives as developers as easy as possible. So our focus, eventually you get the clicker right. So our focus is to take one of the most time-consuming and painful parts of the software development process, which is testing. You probably recognize this. When you're coding and you have a desk full of computers and probably a drawer full of mobile devices solely dedicated to testing. And we've all made this face. Right before you're ready to release your killer feature, you realize it needs to work on IE 7, Edge 14, and Safari on an iPhone 6S. I love this picture because this is the true sign of a really, really interesting problem when you can actually feel the pain of the user just by looking at his face. So now let me show you how we do it. BrowserStack is the leading mobile and web testing platform. First, we offer seamless and instant manual testing. A developer can choose any device or browser and interactively look for bugs. We also have extremely powerful debugging tools. For example, we custom build DevTools on every single one of our mobile browsers. You can also run desktop browsers. For example, here, we're running Edge 15 from within Chrome, which is being run on Sierra. Secondly, we allow you to run your automated tests on our Selenium grid in the cloud. You can run hundreds of builds and test suites at the same time on BrowserStack. We also integrate with all major frameworks and continuous integration tools that allow you to find your bugs and fix them as quickly as possible. I think my favorite part of this is that you can do both of those things across more than 1,200 different combinations of browsers and devices. We're off to a great start solving our problem. But to truly achieve our vision, which is to become the testing infrastructure for the internet, we're aggressively adding more computing platforms. We're really pleased that recently we launched mobile app testing, so you can actually run manual and automated tests on real devices for any native mobile application. And our vision is definitely resonating with developers. We now have developers from over 39,000 companies that span across 135 different countries. I think at Microsoft alone, we have at least 30 teams that use BrowserStack. And every month, our developers run 54 million tests across those 1,200 different combinations of devices and browsers that we host in our data centers globally. So that brings me to why I'm here today. To help developers even more, we're excited to partner with Charles and the Edge team, you know, and work with one of the most used browsers in the world. So we're happy to offer all developers free manual and automated testing on the Edge browser. And starting in the fall, we'll be including Insider Flights as a way to access some of Edge's newest functionality, like remote workers, like service workers. To get started, it's easy. All you have to do is go to browserstack.com and sign up. Thank you and happy testing.
All right, that's awesome. Thank you, Neil. So that's it for me. I want to give way to the rest of the awesome content for the day, but I want to leave you with just a few final thoughts. So first of all, we've come a long way with Edge. I think hopefully you've gotten a sense of that just this morning, but you're going to be seeing a lot more through the rest of the talks today. So if you haven't tried Edge recently, I highly recommend it. We've really come a long way, and we're in this for the long run. Second of all, even if you're not developing Edge, please be sure to test your sites and apps in Edge and a lot of other browsers. As I said earlier, we all have a responsibility together to maintain the interoperable web. And then last but not least, we are here to listen. So in addition to all the talks we'll be giving, we're also here. Please find people with an Edge blue badge or a red speaker badge and let us know what you think, or at hashtag MSEdgeSummit on Twitter. So that's it for me. Thank you very much. And now I'm going to hand it back over to Patrick.